Hello, and welcome to Small Talk, a podcast from Contemporary Pediatrics. I'm Miranda Hester, and in this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Donna Hallis, a clinical professor at the New York University Myers College of Nursing and also a pediatric nurse practitioner, about the upcoming flu season and keeping families safe.
So, Dr. Hallis, how effective was the push last fall in your area to administer the flu shot to as many people as possible to avoid a flu epidemic on top of the COVID-19 epidemic?
So it was very successful in our area, as well as nationwide for children in particular, because there was a significant reduction in the amount of flu, as well as the last I looked, there had been just one reported death from flu, where usually we have hundreds of deaths in children. So it was a very effective campaign. I think the messaging that said COVID and flu is very problematic really worked to get parents out to get their children vaccinated.
Okay, so are you seeing a similar number of flu shot requests this year as you saw last year?
So a lot of the practices are sending reminders to parents because most everyone has EMRs now, which can take care of sending out reminders if parents want texts. And so they're sending out reminders saying, you know, it's now flu season. There was, because some of the, you know, drugstores start advertising in August to get the flu shot, that's really, like, you have to look at your area that you live, and that's a little too early for here because our flu season goes till May and sometimes even June, and you want to have like 6 months. So October in this particular area is the best time, is a great time to go ahead and get the flu vaccine. So I think that a lot of parents will be doing it again. They're also looking at, did mask wearing also help reduce the flu? Of course it did. So it was the combination of things. And of course, children weren't back in, young children in my area were back in school, but not the older children. So parents who of young children, you know, will definitely want to have their kids get it. And the older children, now they're back, they should also be contacting their providers to get the flu shot for their kids.
Okay, so what's your message when you discuss the flu shot with patients and caregivers?
So I think it's a practice message, right? If you're really an advocate for vaccines, they know you, they know how you feel. And if you came, brought your child for the preschool physical, so at different ages, different schools have different requirements, but definitely, you know, before kindergarten, before first grade, third grade, sixth grade, before high school. So those kids all come in usually in the summer because their paperwork has to be done. So that's the ideal time. Everyone says, remember to come back for your flu shot. So they don't have to have a whole nother visit. They could just, often practices will just schedule it. Schedule a day where the kids could just come in, get their shot and go. And of course we have the nasal spray vaccine. So we're only talking shots for kids under the age of two. If you want to, you know, if kids don't like shots, which don't, you can order that as well. And so they could just come in, get the quick two nasal sprays and they go. So that's what they usually will be doing.
So do you discuss the differences between influenza, the common cold, and COVID-19 with patients and caregivers?
So yeah, for sure. We now have a better handle on what the COVID-19 looks like. And actually there's some nice little tables that show you. So fever is one of the big things for children for both COVID and flu. And then it's the really bad cough that you see in children, when everybody with COVID, you see body aches with flu. You don't necessarily see that with COVID. So right now, because of the, you know, headaches, you could see in both. So it depends what you're doing. But right now, I'm going to say that everybody is testing for COVID. And if they're thinking of flu, they're testing for flu. So you have to know, like, in your Department of Health always sends out this information. The Department of Health here sends it directly to your email if you sign up. So you always know weekly our flu status. So you might be saying if someone comes in, lots of kids are back to school, and we knew there was a little bit of a surge in the COVID cases in children. But what you would be saying is, what's my catchment area, where you work and where the children for your practices come? Is flu high? So if it's very, very low, you might be thinking more COVID than flu, or you might be thinking just the common cold, because when kids go back to school, those schools that have the mask mandates are probably protecting children as well from getting common colds and from getting the flu too. So that's how we look at it. So, but I'm going to say right now, everybody's testing for both. In fact, not even just, you know, I've heard from parents who go to other practices that say, you know, the first thing they want is COVID testing before they even look at their child. So it's top on everybody's minds.
So what are some of the most common reasons that you hear from caregivers about why they choose to not get their child the flu shot?
So, you know, there's a variety of reasons, and it's no longer with probably even hesitancy with the flu vaccine, because it's been out for so long. The parents who get it for their children get it for themselves, have recommended that their parents get it, their relatives get it, are used to it. So it's really the refusers, the ones that have always like wanted to refuse. And quite frankly, I think one of the things that came out of COVID very, very heavily is the fact that people get misinformation. And it's that misinformation that's driving the total refuser resistance movement. And it's how do we correct that misinformation, whether, and it seems it's mostly social media misinformation. You know, other types of misinformation where somebody's, you know, a relative says, oh, I got the flu shot today, and yesterday, the next day I got the flu. Well, lots of people now know that you were the person was probably exposed, obviously exposed to someone who had the flu, maybe even pre-symptomatic. And then, you know, they just happened to get the flu shot, and the next day they're starting their symptoms from what they were exposed to within the last week or 2 weeks. So, or even the last 3 or 4 days. But so that's how that goes for the most part. But it's this big social media misinformation that really everyone in the healthcare profession is really trying to figure out, how do we counter this social media push, and that's making people believe, you know, inaccurately, because social media takes the ones that are vaccine refusers, they take a small fact and they take an anecdote, they mix them together, and they cause absolute confusion in people, because it looks correct, it sounds correct, but it's not correct.
Okay, so this fall is going to be much different from last fall, now that children are attending school in person and many caregivers have gone back to being in the workplace. So in addition to the flu shot, what can families do to prevent illness, and what should they do when they do get sick to prevent further spread?
So the mask mandates, you know, the schools that have mask mandates, and then some social distancing so that children are not on top of each other. But they can go outside, you know, and play. And from what I've heard, they have extended the play time and reduced the eating time to 15 minutes, which is kind of the common, because you're taking the mask off for just 15 minutes. And actually, I heard that little kindergartners were asked, you know, the parents were asked to ask your children about the eating, and that they said, you have to eat fast, but we get to play longer. So for kindergarten and for young children, that's great. They prefer to play. You know, it's for them that eating socialization, you know, isn't as important as for older children and adults. But so they kind of countered that. And I'm guessing because of the fact that they're playing longer, they can put less children in an eating area, because 15 minutes in, 15 minutes out. So they have, I don't want anybody not chewing their food, but you know, they're eating a little quicker. So that's one thing that the schools have, a lot of the schools, I don't know about all schools, but a lot of the schools have done. And the other thing is to, even if your school or your state doesn't have a mask mandate, parents can make these requests. It would be safer to have everybody in masks. Now in New York, you know that the teachers all have to be vaccinated and any personnel within the school system in New York City. So that's a big advantage that everybody's vaccinated with COVID, and that I'm sure that they don't mandate the flu maybe for the teachers. I shouldn't say I'm sure, I'm guessing that they don't mandate it, but as many teachers that get the flu vaccine, it will protect everybody, them plus their children getting it. And that's the big message, you know, let's protect everybody. But the other thing, and I've heard from some of the school-based nurse practitioners that parents are sending the kids to school sick, knowing they're sick. That's what has to stop. Okay, so that's a real problem. If your child is sick and you need to keep them home, yeah, I know that some people have just returned to work and maybe they're the people that have to return 5 days, which is problematic if they have no one to man, you know, care for their children. But you know what? You always have to think in advance, respite care. Who is available to take care of my child in case I can't, you know, I absolutely have to go to work? Or so you think in advance and you make some plans. Of course, you know, I'm sure some people say if your child has COVID, I can't come over and take care of them. So that's why they, you know, going to their practice providers and finding out if it's flu or if it's COVID. But you know, some parents might just have to be able to say, you know, I've worked for home for so long, I can work for home when my child is sick. You know, do those types of accommodations. Some people are just returning to work 2 or 3 days a week and working from home. I think, you know, our whole world is transformed because of COVID. So perhaps they'll be more likely to say, yeah, the parent, if the parent, only one parent has to stay home, not both, but you know, if a parent has to stay home, then they have to stay home when their child's sick. Sending them to sick is a problem if they're going on a school bus, it could possibly, you know, because kids don't want to keep a mask on if they're not feeling well, if they're cold or you have the runny nose or congestion, they're not going to want the mask. So of course they're spreading it in the air. So that's a problem.
Thanks for listening to Small Talk. If you like us, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.